Amen? Amen. Good morning, church. Good morning, church. There we go. What a joy to worship the Lord together this morning. What a great day. We're going to celebrate this morning. We're having baptisms, as you can see, in just a little bit. And then we are going to be voting on transitioning from deacons to elders at our church. We've been talking about this for months, and really in our deacon meetings, we've been talking about this for years. But we are really, what we're doing is we have people who function in the elder role who are called deacons, and so we are going to be voting to change the language in the Constitution to biblically match what they're actually doing, which is calling them elders. So we're excited about that. And then to celebrate, we're going to have a potluck after. Who's excited for the potluck? Who calls it a potluck and who calls it a pitch-in? Where's my potluck people? Where's my pitch-in people? Yeah, see, there's some subtle cultural differences between Ohio and Indiana, and this is one of them. So we're having a pitch-in after church, a soup pitch-in, which we were really excited about, and then we realized, how are we going to plug in 50 crock pots and so without overloading the electrical? So if all the lights all of a sudden go out in the middle of service, we'll know what's going on, but we're so excited about that. Also, Roger was talking about blast at home. So if you're a little bit confused about that, what that is we had a midweek Wednesday night program that we called Blast. We're not able to do it for several different reasons this year. So we are not able to do it here at the church like we're normally doing it. We've normally done it. So instead, we're giving you supplies to do these things at home with your families. And so these are kind of family nights. You should take about an hour, maybe 45 minutes to an hour. So just block it out on your calendar. When are we going to do this together as a family? We give you everything you need each week. We give you the supplies. We give you the verses and everything. And Jason's got it. You hold that up, Jason. Jason's already got it. So that's an example of what you're going to get this week. And then you'll go through that as a family. And then there's a QR code at the bottom for scripture memory. And so each week we're going to have a different, or each month, I guess it's one verse a month, we have different people give hand motions for the scripture verses. And I was just thinking, this is a little dangerous when I'm just thinking on a Sunday morning. So I was just thinking a little bit ago, and we've been talking about how scripture memory isn't only for kids, right? It's for adults too. So we're encouraging families, especially with young kids at home, to be doing this. But there's a group of people that I'm going to call out that I've never called out before, and this might be my last Sunday here at the church after I call them out. But I'm going to call out the women of faith, okay? And I'm going to challenge the women of faith to memorize the scripture verses along with all the people who are doing Blast at Home. So it's one a month, and I'll show you how to do the QR code, and you can watch the motions. But women of faith, and women of faith is our widows group, if you don't know. It's more than just widows. They meet, I think, once a month, right? Twice a month, and they would love to have you, right? They would love to have you if you want to join them. Women of faith, can you do it? All right, there we go. And anyone else? So we'll send the QR code for the verse in the church email, so you don't have to be doing the packet. So we'll say our whole church will be memorizing these verses together. Okay, so that's by way of introduction, like I said, today's a great day. We are going to celebrate the work of Christ in the hearts of seven people in our church in the waters of baptism this morning. And I know they are feeling a little bit nervous, and they would like me to just get on with this, Pastor Mike, so we can get this over with. So we're going to be in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. If you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to read it, and then we're just going to talk a little bit about what does the Bible say baptism is. These are all things that we've talked about before. We're just going to spend a few minutes talking about what is baptism, what are the things that baptism reminds us biblically, and then we're going to get right to it. So let me read Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. It says this, the word of the Lord. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we praise you for the gospel. Lord, we thank you for those songs that we sang, for the truth that is in them, God, that when we fear our faith will fail, Christ will hold us fast. When the tempter would prevail, Jesus will hold us fast. Even though our love is often cold, Christ will hold us fast. So we thank you for that beautiful, glorious truth this morning, that Christ is holding us fast. We want to glorify him in all things today because he is holy, 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 worthy, 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 God, who was and is to come. And we praise you for that this morning. May these not just be songs that we sing in church on Sunday morning, but may these be truths that sink deep into our hearts, Lord. May we be in awe of you today. God, we praise you for the seven people being obedient in the waters of baptism this morning, all who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, who have repented of their sins, who have said, there is no hope for me apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ, apart from the death and resurrection of Jesus, paying the punishment that I deserve. There is no hope. Who have repented of their sins, they believe the gospel, and they've decided to follow Jesus, and now they're being obedient to you by being baptized. So I pray for them. I pray for any, I know they're feeling nervous, so I pray that those nerves would be calmed and alleviated, God. I pray that they would speak clearly and just feel such a peace and a joy in knowing that they're being obedient to you, God. We love you. You are so good to us. So we just pray that you help us to stay to glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, we're going to witness seven people being baptized this morning. We're so excited. Baptism is one of two ordinances that God gives the church. Ordinance means things to do in fancy theological language. And so there are two things that we're called to practice. One is baptism. That happens one time after you follow Jesus. You're called to be baptized. The other one is the Lord's Supper, which we do once a month here. We're called to do that on an ongoing basis to remember and proclaim the death and resurrection of Jesus. And baptism is deeply symbolic, right? It's admittedly one of the weirder things that we do as Christians, if we're honest about it, right? It's, well, I go and I get in my shorts and a t-shirt and I get into this tank of water and I tell people that I'm following Jesus and then I get dunked under the water and everyone cheers, right? This is, if you like have never heard of this before, you're like, what are these people doing? It's a little bit strange, but it's not random. It's actually deeply symbolic. Just like the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper are symbolic of what happened at the cross, baptism, like I said, is a picture of what has already happened in the heart of the believer. Pastor Jerry, I'm stealing this from Pastor Jerry. I told him I was going to. I said, it's really good. And I used it all week with every single person that I met this week about baptism. But he gave this analogy talking about a wedding ring. And so when I was meeting with people this week, I showed them the ring on my finger. I said, what is this? And it's got some weird looks. And says, it's your wedding ring. I said, yep. And what does it mean? You know, that you're married. Yep, that's right. And then so took it off. It says, what happens if I take off my wedding ring? Am I still married? And Charlotte Quinn said no, but everyone else said yes. You know what I am? I'm still married. You know, don't be a surprise to my wife. I am still married. No matter if I'm wearing my wedding ring, if I take it off to do yard work or whatever, I'm still married. But this ring doesn't make me married. I got married, and then I put on the ring to show people, to demonstrate what has already happened, that I'm married, right? The same thing is true of baptism. Baptism doesn't make you saved. It doesn't make you a follower of Jesus. There's nothing magic about the water that's in there. It's a symbol of what God has already done in our hearts. And so what we're going to see this morning are three things that baptism reminds us of as followers of Jesus. And the first thing that it reminds us is that the old self is finished. The old self is finished. That comes from verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Into his death. Strangely enough, the first thing that we're celebrating in baptism is actually death. Now, in ancient times, water was a symbol for death. And when we think about the waters of baptism, we think about it's an exciting thing, it's a celebratory thing, but it's also symbolizing a death. What's the death? What has died? It's the death of the old self. The old self. This is so important. When we think about the gospel, what Scripture tells us is that before we were following Jesus, we weren't neutral to God. A lot of times we think that we're neutral to God. You're not, before you're a follower of Jesus, you're not neutral to God. You were enemies of God. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us, says, even through tears, that some are walking as enemies of the cross of Christ. So the Bible tells us there's two categories of people. There's enemies of the cross of Christ, and there's citizens of heaven. And there's no in between. And the way to pass from being an enemy of the cross of Christ to a citizen of heaven is that the old self who walked and lived as an enemy of the cross of Christ has to be put to death. The old self is dead. And so that's true no matter how old or young you are. Apart from Christ, you are walking as an enemy of God. And so what happens when you repent of your sin and ask the Holy Spirit to come into your heart is that the old self is put to death. Colossians 3:3 says this. It says, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I love that. It says you have died. Not you are dying. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Not if you're lucky, not hopefully. If you repent of your sin and follow Jesus, you can be sure that your old self is dead and now you are walking. Your life is now hidden with Christ. I've talked about this before. I have a friend that I used to work with, Pastor Douglas, and whenever we do baptisms, he would just, I don't know what would get into him, but he would just slam people into the water. It was like, you know, been to the dolphin show at the Indianapolis Zoo, and you got the splash zone. Yeah, the first three rows were the splash zone, and he would just wham, shove them into that water. Like, he couldn't get them in there fast enough. And I, for the people I'm baptizing this morning, I'm not going to do that, so don't worry about that, Michelle. But maybe some of the others that I'm not baptizing, I can't promise what Sam's going to do, so I don't know, but it's a great picture, even if it might be a little bit uncomfortable to go through. It is a great picture, right? Your old self just is dead. It's slammed into that water. Dead. Your old self completely gone. Your sins have been forgiven, past, present, future. You know who doesn't want you to believe that your sins have been forgiven, past, present, future? The enemy. So if you got a voice, if you're a follower of Jesus and you got a voice in your head saying you're not forgiven, you've messed up too much, too many sins since you've been saved, you know, that's not coming from the Spirit. When the old self is dead, it means all of it. It means Jesus has forgiven all of it. There is no more guilt. There is no more shame. There is no condemnation. Amen. For those who are in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen for that this morning? Amen. Thank you. Amen. The old self is dead. You've been forgiven. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Secondly, and this is your cue, those of you who are about to be baptized, baptism reminds us that we're free to follow Jesus. We are free to follow Jesus. Verse 4, we were buried, therefore, with him symbolically by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life, in newness of life. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we are now free to walk in newness of life. In fact, this verse tells us the reason our old self was put to death was so that we can walk in newness of life. And this is the irony of the Christian life, is that it is all about freedom. It's about freedom. People don't think that. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you think, what are those Christians all about? They're just all about following a bunch of rules. And I want to be free, so I don't want to have anything to do with that. The irony, the only freedom is found in following Jesus. In the next chapter of Romans, Paul is talking about the law. He says, I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to follow the law. I can even make it look like I'm following the law, but deep down, I know my heart is wicked. He says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And so to become a Christian means to confess that your heart is wicked and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's what makes Romans 8:1 one of the greatest verses in all of Scripture that we just read, that there is therefore now no what? Condemnation is the answer. Now we can all say it out loud. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So when we see our people, our baptizees getting dunked under the water, we need to be thinking about that, symbolizing that their old self has been put to death. And when we see them raised back up out of the water, we see this is a symbol now. They are free. Free from the requirements of the law. Free from a dead heart. Free from condemnation. Free from guilt. Free from shame. And free to follow Jesus. And free to seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And praise God for the freedom that is found in following Jesus. I'm going to ask the same question. You know who doesn't want you to think that there's freedom in Christ? The enemy. Yes, thank you, whoever said Satan. The enemy doesn't want you to think that. The enemy wants you to think that he wants you to stay in your chains. You're not following Jesus right now. Just ask, like, how's it going for you? Are you stuck in bondage to sin? The enemy wants you to stay there. Jesus wants to free you. Follow Jesus. That voice is in your head saying, Jesus is going to lead me to more guilt, more shame, more condemnation. No, that is the enemy talking. There is freedom in Christ. Amen? Amen. Finally, this is so good. Baptism reminds us that we will live forever. So the old self is finished. We're free to follow Jesus, and we will live forever with him. Verse 5. Listen to this promise. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will maybe be united with him in a resurrection like his. Is that what it says? No. This is why you need to follow along in your Bibles, because I'm going to try to trick you. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So going down into the water symbolizes the death to the old self. Coming up out of the water represents the freedom that we have in Christ and the promise of eternal life that has been secured for us right now. And we have the Holy Spirit as the guarantee of our inheritance. Our inheritance is to come, but we've been given the Spirit as a guarantee of the future promise that will be fulfilled in Christ Jesus. We will certainly, for sure, 100% be raised to eternal life with him. And so the seven people that we're about to hear from have all experienced that reality, and now it's time for them to get baptized. And so the way we do it at Rock Prairie, if you haven't been here for a baptism service before, if you're here visiting with us, by the way, welcome. We're so glad that you're here this morning. If you're a family or friend of somebody getting baptized, we would love for you to just kind of come up. You can stand on the stairs and up here if you want to get an up-close view, and just kind of, as each person comes up into the water, family and friends are welcome to come up. And then once the person comes up out of the water, we just want to give the biggest cheer that we've ever done at Rock Prairie, because this is an amazing thing that we are celebrating, the miracle that God has done in each person's heart. Amen? So let me pray one more time real quick, and then we will get after it. All right, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, God, what a blessing today. What an opportunity to celebrate the miracle that you have done in these seven people's hearts. The old self is finished. We're free to follow Jesus, and we know we will live forever. So I pray again that you calm any nerves and that the gospel would be clear and true and that Jesus would be glorified. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
I love that imagery that Pastor Mike gives us of that that death to old self, that freedom in Christ, and that hope of the resurrection, that hope that is not the hope that we think of, but the hope of an assurance, of a knowing that he will return and that we will raise up with him. I've baptized a lot of students, but I get to do it as a dad today. So this is my daughter, Linnea. Say hi.
Hi.
She's she's not nervous at all.
Yes,
you are. Oh, you are? You just want to get this done? No? Okay. So, Linnea, why do you need a Savior? You got to say it loud, kiddo.
I need a Savior because I am a sinner.
Mm-hmm. Very true. So, when did you ask Jesus to forgive you?
1 year ago, Daddy and I were doing our Bible time. We were learning about how our sin separates us from God. I wanted to get rid of my sin. I knew I needed help. So I prayed and asked for forgiveness.
And what's different about your life now that you do follow Jesus?
Before I became a Christian, my fears were much bigger, and I felt confused a lot. Now that I have the Holy Spirit helping me, I can fight my fears with truth. Make a silly face. Bear it. What? What's that word?
And then tell.
And then tell it to go away.
Our strategies, ladies and gentlemen. So what's your favorite Bible verse and why?
Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Philippians 4:8.
And why?
Because it tells a lot of truth. It helps me remind me what I should think about.
Mm, good job. Good job. All right. So you ready?
No.
So, Linnea, have you repented of your sin and asked Jesus to be your Savior?
Yeah.
Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone as your Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
All right. Well, by your confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This is Ruby Luttrell, and she is excited to be baptized today. So Ruby, I'm just going to ask you a couple questions. I'm going to have you try to go talk right into this microphone real loud so everyone can hear you, okay? First question, why do you need a Savior?
Because we do bad sin.
Yeah, because we do bad sin. That's exactly right, Ruby. And can you talk about, can you describe when you asked Jesus to forgive you?
You can talk from your heart. You don't have to read it. What happened the day you asked Jesus to be your Savior?
I went in my room mad, and I came out happy.
Yeah.
What happened when you were in there?
I prayed and asked Jesus to be my Savior.
Amen. Oh, I love that. She prayed and asked Jesus to be her Savior and went into room mad, came out happy. I love that. That's amazing. What's different about your life now that you follow Jesus?
You said, I listen to God.
I listen to God.
And He helps me.
And He helps you do what?
Do good stuff.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What's your favorite Bible verse and why?
Do not step foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil. Do or avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way.
That was amazing. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 4:14. and 15. Ruby, have you repented of your sin and acknowledged that you need a Savior?
Yes.
And do you believe that Jesus is your only Savior?
Yes.
Amen.
Ruby, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, dead to sin, raised in the newness of life.
Right, Michelle, you described to the church, what was your life like before Christ?
Lonely, frustrating, and I spent a lot of time being scared and feeling unworthy.
Can you describe the time when you asked Jesus to forgive you?
In March 1988, it was just a strange feeling that I had inside and had no real understanding of God. But when I started talking to the pastor, all I could do was cry and ask for forgiveness.
Amen. And what's different about your life now that you're following Jesus?
Everything. Everything.
Amen. I think that's the best answer you can give. Amen. And talk about, what's your favorite scripture verse and why?
1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. I've had cancer more than once, like 3 or 4 times. And this has always been a verse that got me through it. And it's, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. Have you repented of your sins? Do
Yes.
you acknowledge your need for a Savior? And
Absolutely.
You believe? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone as
Absolutely.
Your Savior? Amen. Michelle, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord has been doing some really amazing things in Alyssa's heart, and I'm so excited for you to hear about that. So, Alyssa, if you would, just describe what your life was like before Christ.
I never grew up in the church, and I didn't understand that you could have a relationship with God who wasn't physically with you. I faced a lot of anxiety from a young age, from relationships I didn't feel unconditional love from, and I closed off my heart to a lot of people.
And when and how did you realize that you needed a Savior?
I realized I needed a Savior when my own wants of this world were almost taken away, and I felt like I had nothing left. After Brody's accident, I was constantly anxious, living in fear, and with no true joy, so I attended our great banquet weekend.
Amen. And that's where you gave your life to the Lord, so you explained to me. And how has following Jesus changed your heart?
Jesus filled my broken and cold heart with so much love and peace.
Amen.
I now continue to learn and study his word in his promises and invest in relationships because Jesus gave me true joy that I want to share.
Amen. What is your favorite scripture verse and why?
Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Because when I spend time with God, listening to his words, that he loves me, will never leave me, that he has a good plan for me, I feel true peace that I cannot understand.
Amen.
And that is verse 7 as well. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, where guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you, praise the Lord. So, Alyssa, you have repented of your sins and acknowledged your need for a Savior.
Yes.
And you have put your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone as your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
You ready to get baptized?
Yes.
All right. Alyssa, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and his amazing work of grace in your life, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Everything I need. seated.
Water's warm.
It is.
Okay, we ready? All right. This is Isabel Friend. Isabel, how old are you?
Eight.
Before we get started, I just want to say, is Billy and Vonda in here? Billy and Vonda played a huge part in Isabel's growth and her walk with Christ. So I just want to say thank you for that. There's so many people in this room that's helped Isabel in her walk, even with Uncle Scotty's Jesus Talks at Christmas. So, again, she is she's very special in our family. And so, Isabel, why do you need a Savior?
To save us from our sin.
Can you describe when you asked Jesus to forgive you?
About a year ago when my mom led me to Christ.
And what's the difference about your life now that you follow Jesus?
Now I understand fully what Jesus did for me and how much he loves me.
And what is your favorite Bible verse?
1 Timothy 1:17. The eternal King will never die. He can't be seen. He is the only God. Give him honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Because it talks about how God is the eternal King.
Amen to that. Okay, you ready? Isabel, have you repented of your sins and asked Jesus to be your Savior?
Yes.
What's the next question? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone in your Lord Savior?
Yes.
Listen, look at me. The Bible says that nothing, nothing will ever separate the love that Christ has for you now. And in heaven, there's a big book. And in that book, your name is written, and it's permanent magic marker. It cannot ever be erased, and one day you're going to be in heaven, and never doubt that, like Pastor Mike talked about. Never doubt that, okay?
Okay.
All right. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Hazel Grace Parr. Hazel, how old are you?
Eight.
I've got a quick story to tell about Hazel's faith journey. It was probably
Mother's Day.
Yeah. Months before that, I went to a conference, I think, or I listened to a sermon online, and the pastor said, just pray for a month and ask God to send someone in your life that you can help lead to Christ. And I've done that before, and I'm like, okay, I'll do that. So I did. So I was praying. And then Christopher Salisbury called me one day and goes, hey, I think I'm going to give an invitation during communion. And I thought in my mind, I'm like, I was going to do that. So I was like, gosh. So anyway, I submitted, and he did it. And so that morning, I was sitting right over there during, huh? Oh, you wrote it down? Okay, I'm not going to blow it then. I'm going to let you do it. I'll stop right at that point, okay?
You're going to tell it.
Are you going to tell it? All right, I'll tell it. You can tell it. Okay, Hazel, why do you need a Savior?
I need a Savior because of all the bad things I've done in my life, and He takes away all of our sins.
Describe when you asked Jesus to forgive you.
I asked Jesus into my heart on Mother's Day during communion. I went over to the chapel and prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me.
And what's different about your life now that you follow Jesus?
I'm happier and I don't get sad as much, and I try to make other people happy.
And what's your favorite Bible verse?
Psalms 56:3, when I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in you. It's my favorite verse because I get scared a lot, and when I'm scared, I can put my trust in God.
Amen. One thing, I always tell people, you got to have a Paul in your life, you got to have a Barnabas in your life, you got to have a Timothy in your life. She's got Timothy's in her life. She's got Mr. and Mrs. Peters to do that and other people. She's got Barnabas in her life. She's got people who encourage her, like her Meemaw and Papaw and Nana and Papa. But she needs Paul's in her life that speaks truth and love. So when she starts to walk her sanctified life, her and my granddaughter Isabel, I need you people to hold her accountable for that. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Hazel, let me read these questions to you, girlfriend. Have you repented of your sins and asked Jesus to be your Savior?
Yes.
Have you put your trust and faith in Christ, Him alone, to be your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
I baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, I'm Liz Quinn, and this is my precious daughter, Charlotte. And Charlotte, why do you need a Savior?
I need a Savior to save my life from sin so I can have a good relationship with God.
Can you describe when you asked Jesus to forgive you?
I had been thinking about God being the Lord of my life. I know that I needed Him to forgive me of my sin, like when I get angry at my brothers or have lied and blamed them. I know my sin results in death, and Jesus took my place. I asked God to forgive me and told Him I want Him to be the Lord of my life.
What's different about your life now that you follow Jesus?
I'm quicker to forgive my brothers when I'm angry or frustrated. God is also
showing
me a lot of His promises and that I can trust Him even when my brother's sick.
What's your favorite Bible verse and why?
Isaiah 65:24. I will provide for their needs before they ask. I will help them while they're still asking for help. I've had a lot of big feelings, and God's shown me He's already working before I can get my words together.
Have you repented of your sins and asked Jesus to be your Savior?
Yes.
Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay. All right, sister. You ready, girl? I baptize you from your... Oh. Maybe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.